of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. He commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then those men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was so urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." Verse 25. He answered and said, "Lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Praise God. Amen. I done preached a mouthful right there. Amen. Just by reading the Word of God. Father, we thank you for your Word. God, I thank you for your anointing that I'm feeling in this place right now. And God, as we go into this time to hear what thus saith the Lord, I ask you, God, to open up our hearts and our minds and help us to be focused on you today, God, that we can receive from you what you would have for us to. And Father, we'll be sure to give you all praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you are seated, turn to your neighbor and say, "It's time to get loose." Amen. Time to get loose. Amen. We pick up the story during the Babylonian captivity, where God's people are captive to King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, they are God's chosen people, but here we see once again they are being bound in captivity. So at the same time that they are God's people, they are also still bound. Let me go ahead and help you right here. It is possible for you to be saved and still be struggling with some things in your life that are holding you bonded. Amen. We used to have this idea that when you got saved, everything in your life was going to be perfect. You weren't going to have any struggles. You weren't going to have any issues, that God just miraculously took all that away. But it does not work like that. We got to get past where we think bondage is just addiction or different things like that. But there are people that are saved today in the body of Christ that are still bound by anxiety, and they're still bound by depression, and they're still bound by unforgiveness. They're still bound by worry. They're bound by poverty. They're bound by sickness. And it's possible to be saved but still be in bondage. Woo. They're God's chosen people, but here they are. They're still bound. So at the same time, they're God's people. They're bound. We must understand that the enemy does not have the power to create, so he works to try and bind God's people. You see, bondage keeps you from moving and operating freely the way that you were created to operate. When you are bound, you can't move like you're supposed to move. You can't operate like you're supposed to operate. So if the enemy can get bondage in your life, he can keep you from fulfilling what God has for you. A lot of people struggle to fulfill God's plan for their life because they're continually struggling with some type of bondage in their life. Amen. And the enemy does this by using people. The enemy knows that even though he can't create, people can. So he works through people. You know, when God does something on the face of the earth, he's going to use a man to do it. Why? Because God gave man dominion over the face of the earth. So God wants to work through us to have his will accomplished. So the enemy also uses people to accomplish his will. Amen. All right.
The first thing we must understand and always remember is that we were created in the image and the likeness of God. So not only were we created to look like God, we were created to operate according to the same principles that God operates by. God created the heavens and the earth by speaking, "Let there be," and there was. So when God declared something, what he declared came into being. So when God created man, he wanted man to operate the same way. That is why the Bible teaches us that the power of life and death is in your tongue. And we are our own worst enemy because we keep declaring doom, gloom, and despair over our own lives. And the Bible says, you will have whatever you say out of your mouth. So if your life is not lining up with the way that you want it to go, change what you're letting come out of your mouth. Praise the Lord. God's design was for man to rule earth the same way that he rules heaven. God is a spirit, so that means God is invisible. But he created a visible world. The earth, God created the earth. Heaven is an invisible kingdom. That's why people that do space travel and things like that have never seen heaven. Heaven is an invisible kingdom created by an invisible God. But God said, I want to create a visible world. But he said, I want the visible world to see an invisible God. So what he did was said, I'm going to create a man in my image and in my likeness, and for a visible world to see an invisible God, he said the invisible is going to have to get inside the visible so that the visible world can see an invisible God. So you and I are supposed to be a reflection of God to the world. Y'all act like I am preaching Greek this morning. Christ-like is what Christian is, to be Christ. We are supposed to be a reflection of Jesus to the world. Amen? So when I say we're supposed to be a reflection of God to the world, that's the same thing as saying we're being a reflection of Jesus, because Jesus said God and the Father, oh my gosh, are one and the same. Let's move on. God said he's invisible, so he had to get in the visible. That is why God brought all the animals that he created to Adam to see what Adam would call them, and they became known as that. Why? Because God said if you're going to rule it, you got to be able to name it. The reason some folks can't get over what your bondage is because you don't want to admit, first of all, that you got a problem. They even teach us that in the world, that when someone goes to AA, the first thing they say is, my name is so-and-so, and I'm an alcoholic. Why? Because admit you got a problem is the first step to recovery. So you got to admit, if you won't name it, you can never overcome it. You got to be able to say, okay, I'm bitter at this person. Okay, I'm hurt at this person. Okay, I've got unforgiveness at this person. You can't ever rule it, and it's going to keep you bound until you can first admit that you got a problem and name it. Amen. But when God created man and he put him on the earth and he brought all the animals to Adam, it established that man has the ability to declare things. That is why in Joshua 10 and verse 12, Joshua told the sun to stand still, and the sun did not go down for about the span of a day, because Joshua was in a battle and he said, God, I need more time. And the sun started going down, and Joshua pointed at the sun and said, stand still and stop going down. And the sun didn't go down for the span of a day. Why? Because he decreed it out of his mouth. In Matthew 17 and 20, Jesus said, if you have the faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you can speak to a mountain and tell it to be gone, and it's got to be gone. Romans 4 and 17 tells us to call those things that be not as though they were. In other words, it may look like this, but you say, I don't accept what it looks like. It's going to line up with the word of God. I don't accept the report that I got. It's going to line up with the word of God, because I refuse to accept anything in my life except everything that God's word said I can have. Amen. Call those things that be not as though they were. We just got to learn to start declaring the word of God. I know I've been preaching and teaching on this a lot, but I believe it is something that we have missed for years in the body of Christ, is the power of the declaration of the word. Start declaring what God has spoken over your life. God says you're the head and not the tail. He says you're above only and not beneath. God says you are more than a conqueror. God says you shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Start declaring over yourself what God says over you. Amen. Instead of talking about, oh, I'm so sick, start talking about, I thank God that I'm healed. Amen. Instead of saying, oh, I'm so depressed, start saying, oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And start saying, I'm always last. Start declaring, he who is first shall be last, and who is last shall be first. Amen. And when somebody else gets the promotion and you don't, stop beating yourself up and all that. Say, God is no respecter of persons. What he did for them, he's going to do for me. And I'm going to shout about it and celebrate because God's going to do it for me in my life. Stop getting so negative about everything and get positive and begin to declare the word of God over your life. And it will transform your life. Now, when we understand something, though, when we begin to declare the word of the Lord, the enemy always comes to challenge it. We read in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 4, where Jesus was baptized, and the Bible said a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And immediately Jesus was driven into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Notice, though, that the enemy didn't come to tempt anything except the word of God. And he told Jesus, he said, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. He knew that Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and he was hungry. Amen. Don't think the devil won't come and push the button right where you're at. Don't think the enemy won't come and begin to try to challenge you right where you're at and where you're weak in your life. Jesus hadn't eaten in 40 days, and the devil said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But every time the devil tempted Jesus, he responded with the word, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. And Jesus responded to the devil with the word. You better realize that the devil's going to come challenge the word, but you can come back at him with the word. Amen. And stand on the promises of God's word. The devil was asking Jesus, if you are the Son of God, or if you are what the word says you are. You know, the enemy come to challenge the word that was spoken, and the enemy will come to challenge the word that's been spoken over your life. Because the enemy wants to challenge the word, because heaven and earth will pass away, but the word shall endure. Amen. That's why the enemy fights you so hard. I don't know about y'all, but the enemy fights me every day. I'm going to say this again. I said it last week. But if the enemy's not fighting you, you got to ask yourself, does he have a reason? Amen. If you are a child of God doing what you need to be doing, I promise you he's fighting. And some of you may say, why is the enemy fighting me so hard? I still got issues on top of issues. Because the enemy never fights you on the level that you are now. He fights you on the level of the word that has been spoken over your life. So he fights you on the level that he is scared for you to become. How do you know this, preacher? Exodus chapter 1. The Bible said there was a new Pharaoh that came up that knew not Joseph, and he looked out over the children of Israel, and he said, they are more and mightier than we are. And he said, suppose, it hadn't happened yet, suppose war comes out, and they join together with their other enemies, and they get up out of the land. So they set taskmasters over them to afflict them. This is a glimpse in how the enemy works. He wasn't fighting them on where they are now. He was fighting them on what he was afraid to happen. So when the devil comes to fight you, you may be still struggling with some issues. You may be still fighting some battles and wondering why the devil's fighting you so hard and you ain't even got it all together. It's because he is fighting you on what he is afraid for you to become. And he thinks if he can keep you bound enough, he can keep you from getting to that place. But just like the children of Israel, the Bible says the more he afflicted them, the more they multiplied. Amen. You got to learn how when the devil comes against you, you turn it against him and you grow out of it. Amen. What you went through, you don't let it beat you down. You learn to grow out of it. You learn to grow out of the dirt that they left you in. Amen. Somebody needs to hear that. Learn to grow out of the dirt that they left you in. When they tried to bury you, they didn't know you were a seed. Woo! When they tried to bury you, they didn't know you were a seed. And what they did was they put you in the ground and gave you the ability to grow. Amen. The devil's not fighting you on the level you are now. So your level of attack is always a sign of the greatness that has been declared by the Lord over your life. Amen. You may be saying, why is he fighting me so hard? Because others aren't carrying what you're carrying. Others aren't pregnant with what you're pregnant with. Do you know that adversity is a sign that you're a threat to the enemy? Amen. Adversity is a sign that you're a threat. The Bible says the thief cometh not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. A thief doesn't go to the rattiest looking crack house and try to break in and steal something. Why? Because there ain't nothing in there. But a thief wants to go to the nice house that is well kept and it looks like they got something. Why? Because there's something in there worth stealing. So when the enemy comes to fight you, it's because there's something in your life that he says they's worth stealing in there. That means there's something of value in your life. So when the enemy comes to fight you and he's all up against you, you ought to get excited. Why? Because even the devil sees the value in your life. Even the devil sees that God's got greatness on the inside of you. So get excited. You say, get excited when I start going through? Absolutely. Why? Because the enemy wants you to get in the mully grubs. The enemy wants you to get down in the mouth. The enemy wants you to get depressed. But when you flip it around and you get excited, why should you get excited? Because it's just another chance for God to show his glory in your life. It's just another chance for God to bless you. It's just another chance for God to give the devil another black eye. And oh my God, some of you need to learn to get excited when you go through because your blessing is on the other side. Hallelujah. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego told the king, we pick up this story where King Nebuchadnezzar had erected this image, and he made a decree. He says, when you hear all this music playing, he said, you will bow down and worship it. If you refuse to worship this image, you're going to be taken that same hour and thrown into a fiery furnace. In other words, bow down or die. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't bow down, and somebody ran to the king and said, you know, didn't you make a decree that whoever didn't bow down gets thrown into the fiery furnace? And the king said, I sure did. And they said, well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't bow down. Ain't that just like people? Y'all quiet in here. Y'all got names running through your head right now. People run and tattle. They run and told the king, said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't bow down. And the king called him. He says, is it true that you didn't bow down? And they said, true, O king. And he said, I'm going to give you one more chance. He said, you're either going to bow down, he said, or you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. He said, what's your answer? And I love Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, O king, we are not careful to answer you. I like that. What does that mean? They said, we ain't even got to choose our words carefully. We're not going to try to be politically correct. We're not going to try to worry about whether it offends you. We're not going to try to worry about whether you're going to like us or not after this answer. But the answer is no, we won't bow down. Because our God is able to deliver us. Said, even if you throw us into the fire, that's all right because my God's still able. Amen. We got to get to the point in our life that we quit worrying about choosing our words carefully. We got to quit worrying about if we're going to offend people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got to quit worrying about if folks are going to be scared of the Holy Ghost. We got to quit worrying about what other folks are going to think and start standing up for what thus saith the Lord. We got to quit worrying about about if somebody's going to be offended because we preach against homosexuality and we preach against pedophilia and we preach against all these different things, worrying about if somebody's going to get upset. I'm sorry if the word of God upsets you. Take that up with God, because we will declare what thus saith the Lord, and I'm not careful in choosing my words. Hallelujah. Everybody's worried about offending somebody. Well, they got an issue. So we got homosexual people leading praise and worship in churches. We got gay and lesbian bishops standing up trying to preach the gospel to somebody. Hello? We got people playing in the club on Saturday night and coming and leading us in worship on Sunday morning. Don't shout me down. It happens. Amen. And nobody wants to offend somebody. Oh, they're tied to a lot of people in our church. And if we say something about that, it's going to hurt the church. My God, you're going to stand before God one day and say, well, God, it would have hurt the church. And God's going to say, why didn't you just trust me? I've lost not all my amens, but that's all right. I'm one of these preachers that I don't care what folks are going to say, because my name's already been drugged through the mud. Amen. I'm one of these that don't really care what folks is going to say or what folks think. I'm going to preach the word of God. I'm going to preach the word of God. That might be why I still have a job. Amen. But notice the declaration of the word in the face of being put to death. They declared that God would deliver them. Do you know that adversity is not an excuse for you to stop declaring the word of God? Adversity is not an excuse to stop declaring the word of God. So many times we start going through, we don't even want to read our word. We don't want to pray. We don't want to fast. We don't want to do things. We just want to lay around and complain about how bad we got it. Amen. A couple of years ago, I went through a very difficult time where I had a bad reaction to some medicine, and many of you know about this, and it throwed me into some very bad spells for 2 weeks, to where the medicine reacted to me and threw me into convulsions. Where I would just lay in the bed and jerk for 2 weeks. I lost 25 pounds in 2 weeks. Couldn't eat. I dehydrated, and I was in bad shape, and I even told my wife, I feel like I'm dying. And I got to the point that I couldn't even say nothing. I couldn't do anything. But all of a sudden, God's word began to roll in my mind, and the only thing I could get out of my mouth was, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Ruby and Vicky was over there when that was happening, and I remember holding Sister Vicky's hand and Ruby and them while I was convulsing, and all I could get out of my mouth was, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something, the power of God began to fall down, because even in the midst of my battle, even in the midst of my struggle, all I could declare was the word of the Lord. Nothing else was happening. So many people had been by to pray, but when I began to declare what the thus saith the Lord, and I begin to speak God's word over my life, hallelujah, that situation begin to turn around. And I'm telling you right now, when you declare the word of the Lord over your life, amen, that situation will turn around. Hallelujah. Adversity is not an excuse to stop declaring God's word. Now, this infuriated the king. Watch this. He commanded that the fiery furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. The enemy used King Nebuchadnezzar to create an atmosphere that he felt for sure would bring destruction in their lives. 7 times hotter. Notice how the level of the attack increased. It's because they were a threat. The enemy used Nebuchadnezzar to create an atmosphere he knew that would destroy them. Watch this, though. Then the king commanded them to be bound. He commanded them to be bound. See, when the devil can't shut your mouth up, then he's going to try to bind you. There's a lot of people that are very vocal about their relationship with God, very vocal about their walk with God. When the enemy can't shut your mouth, then he's going to try to bring bondage to you. going to try to bring up your past. He's going to try to bring up depression. He's going to try to give you anxiety. He's going to try to give you all kind of things that you're going through. Try to attack your body. Try to attack your physical health. You see, the enemy challenged the word spoken over them. Then he brought bondage. He wanted to restrict their movement and keep them from operating. In the book of Judges, we read about a man by the name of Samson who was blessed with incredible strength. But nearly every time he turned around, the enemy was trying to bind him. They used new ropes. They used new cords. They used everything they could, all in an effort to keep him from operating in the calling and the word of God that was spoken over his life. So here's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're bound, and the spoken word is being challenged. And then the king commanded them to be thrown into this furnace that was heated 7 times hotter than it was normally heated. Amen. And the scripture says the fire was so hot that the men that took them up to throw them in, the fire actually killed those men. The fire that they went into killed others' folks. But I'm here to tell you what killed other folks did not kill Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What should have killed you didn't kill you. Why? Because God has a plan for your life. And I'm preaching to somebody right now that you should be dead and in a grave right now, but because God had a plan for you, what has killed other folks and should have killed you, God spared you, and he lifted you up, and he has called you for such a time as this, and you need to begin to walk out that calling. You need to get loose from everything that is holding you back and start walking out what God has called you to do. My God. Hey, what should have killed you didn't. You should have lost your mind at times, but because you held on to the word and you kept that word in your mouth, God has sustained you through what should have killed you. Amen. Some of you may just be getting by this morning, but hold on to the word. Hold on to the word. Things may seem to be falling apart around you. Hold on to the word. Hold on to the word. You see, Job lost everything that he had, but he didn't lose the word. Job held on to his word. Why? Here he is in all of his mess, but he said, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." My God, Job said, if God took it, he gave it to me in the first place. It was his. Amen. And he's got something better for me. Amen. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Job held on to his word. And Job didn't lose his mind. He didn't come up, go under. But he came out with double of what he went in with. You know, sometimes God has to take some stuff from us so he can make room for what he's about to give us. Woo! Sometimes God's got to remove that bad person out of your life so that you'll be ready for the good person he's got for you. Amen. Sometimes God's got to move that bad junk away from you. Woo, and you're over here crying, "Lord, why'd you take it? Lord, why'd you take it?" And God's over here going, "Because it was killing you." Woo. Sometimes God has to move these toxic relationships. Sometimes we get in relationships with people that's the same as drinking poison. They're toxic to us. They're sucking the life out of us. They're killing us. They're pulling us down a wrong road. They're pulling us back to a place that we don't want to go anymore. They're continually tearing you down. They're continually tearing down your self-esteem. They're continually tearing you down emotionally. They're continually tearing you down spiritually. They're continually pulling you, and God will remove these people out of your life. And yes, it hurts. But God said, it's because I got something better for you. Amen. Because God wants us to be happy. God wants us to be free. God wants us to be blessed. God wants us to enjoy life. Why? Jesus said, "I've come to give you life and that you might have it more abundantly." That doesn't sound to me like he said, "I want you just to scrape by." Amen. Are y'all with me? Amen. Some of you staring at me like a calf at a new gate. Come on, let's get in with it this morning. Job lost everything he had, but he came out with double. Now watch this. The king looked over into the furnace and he said, "Did we not cast 3 men into the fire?"
Y'all, we've heard this sermon so many times. Let's listen to it one more time. He said, "For I see four men loose." Wait. They throwed them in bound. They had the mightiest men bind them. And they threw them into the fire. But the king said, "I see them all loose." See, what you must understand is the very fire that the enemy orchestrated to destroy you can be the very fire that sets you free. Whew. The very fire that he thought was going to take you out, God can turn it around and use it to be the very fire that gets you free. He said, "I see four men loose in the fire, unharmed and walking around. And the fourth man, whew, is like the Son of God." Amen. Here, amen. Watch this. Here we see the enemy looking into an atmosphere, but not seeing what he expected to see. You know, the enemy sends stuff to try to destroy you, and then he comes back to look at his handiwork, but he sees you still walking. "Devil, I took your best shot, but I'm still here." I refuse to allow the enemy to see what he expects to see. When he sends something that really wants to hurt my feelings and sends somebody to get me down, sends somebody to hurt me and all that, and the enemy wants to see me mad and mully-grubbed, and I'm walking around going, "God, I pray that you bless them. God, I pray that whatever they put their hands to, you would bless." Why? Because the word said, "Bless those that curse you. Pray for those that despitefully use you." And you begin to declare that word. I refuse to let the enemy see the results that he was expecting to see in my life. Why? Because I hate him. I hate him. Well, you ain't supposed to hate anybody. That's the only person I hate, and it's all right to hate the devil. Amen. Your pastor's telling you it's okay to hate the devil. You should hate him. Why? Because all he wants to do is destroy you. The thief cometh not but for to kill, steal, and destroy you. I hate him. I wish that when he is bound with that chain and thrown into the bottomless pit, that the Lord would grant me a wish to drop kick him off in there. I'm sorry if y'all don't think like that. I'd like to judo chop him in the throat. He must have not have dealt y'all the blues like he has me. Amen. He said, "I see four men loose in the fire," and the enemy did not see what he was hoping to see. He created an atmosphere to destroy the Hebrew men, but it did not have the result. He thought the fire would destroy them. The enemy thought they would never come out of that, but the only thing the fire destroyed was their bondage. Do you know that there is freedom through Jesus Christ? Well, preacher, how did a fire that was meant to destroy them actually set them free? Because Jesus showed up. Whew. You see, you can be in the midst of the greatest battle of your life. You can be in the midst of some of the hardest things you've ever faced, but all you need is for Jesus to show up. Whew. Jesus showed up. Amen. You may have went in bound, but you come out free. You see, some of the stuff that you've went through was actually just to get you free. You know, I think back over my life, and there's times in my life where I cried and I wept and I said, "God, why am I going through this? God, why am I having to deal with this? God, why did this happen to me?" But now that I've come out on the other side and stepped into the blessings of God, I look back over and I, "God, I thank you for that fire. God, I thank you for that storm. God, I thank you for the ones that left me. God, I thank you for the ones that betrayed me. God, I thank you for it, because it set me free to where I can walk," oh my God, "to where I can walk in the favor and the anointing that I'm walking in now. Because God, if I hadn't have went through that and they hadn't left me, I would still be bound today. I would still be in that same shape today." You say, well, I was hoping they were going to change. Maya Angelou said, "When someone shows you who they are the first time, believe them." She's a very wise woman. When somebody shows you who they are the first time, believe them. That's who they are. Let's move on.
Folks that have walked away from you, things that you've lost, things that have hurt you, what the enemy meant to destroy you has actually freed you from what was holding you back. So the atmosphere that the enemy created for destruction became the atmosphere in which they were loosed from the bondage. They were loosed from it was what was holding them back, all because the Son of God showed up. You see, when Jesus appeared, that atmosphere changed. Do you know that when God shows up, even in a bad atmosphere, it flips around? This atmosphere was created for destruction. 7 times hotter than it was normally heated. Kill the men that threw them in. This was an atmosphere for nothing but destruction. But when Jesus showed up, watch this now, in that exact same atmosphere, it changed to one of freedom. My God. An atmosphere designed for destruction was changed to an atmosphere of freedom. Think about that. God didn't come in and put the fire out. God didn't come in and tone it down where it was only 1 time hotter or 3 times hotter. God walked into the 7 times hotter fire, changed the atmosphere, and changed what it was sent to do. It was sent to destroy them, but God changed it so it freed them. Whew. And there are things that the enemy has sent to destroy you that God will just turn around and change to free you. God will turn it around and bless you. They tried to destroy you, but just like Joseph told his brothers, he said, you meant it for evil, but God turned it around and blessed me with it. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for my good. Why? Because God can take any situation. God can take anything that you face and turn it around and bless you with it. Because Romans 8 tells us that all things work together for the good who them that love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. It didn't say just the good things, but that means the bad things too, that God will take it and turn it around and bless you with it. Praise God. Praise the Lord. When Jesus showed up, the atmosphere changed. You better believe that the creator of this world can still change an atmosphere. Whew. You better believe it. When Jesus showed up, bondage fell off and they got loose. Watch this. They didn't have to wait until they came out of the fire. Whew. They got loose in the midst of the fire. See, that's why some folks can shout even in the middle of a storm. Whew. Some folks are saying, God, can you just bring me out of this? God, can you just get me out of this? Instead of saying, God, just show up in it with me and we're going to be all right. God, I'll walk through the fire as long as you're holding my hand. God, I'll walk through the storm as long as you're holding my hand. God, I'll go through whatever I have to go through, God, long as you're right there with me holding my hand. Instead of saying, God, bring me out, saying, God, I just need you to show up. Because when you show up, things are going to change. When Jairus came to Jesus, he said, my daughter is at the point of death, but I know if you'll just show up and you'll put your hands on her, that situation's going to change. That atmosphere's going to change. And we got to get to the point we just say, God, just show up where I'm at right now. God, I'm bound. God, I'm hurting. God, I'm going through, but I just need you to show up. Hallelujah. God, I need you to show up. Watch this. We talked about Samson a few moments ago, and they would try to bind him with everything they could find. Samson needed to hear Maya Angelou, because he had this woman by the name of Delilah, and he said, if you bind me with new ropes, I'll be bound. If you bind me with this, I'll be bound. And everything he told her, she had it done to him. When somebody tells you who they are the first time, believe them. But he kept telling her stuff and kept telling her stuff. And then she played that card. If you love me, you'll tell me. I'm going to leave that alone. If you love me, you'll tell me. And Samson finally told her. The Bible says when they would bind him, when they would bind him, he would go out and shake himself. The Spirit of the Lord would come upon him. And he would break loose from everything. Do you know when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you can break loose from everything that's holding you back. When the Spirit of the Lord showed up, the atmosphere changed. Stop asking God to change your situation and ask God to show up. We spend all of our time praying, asking God to change our situation, to move us out of what we're in, when we should be saying is, all I need is for Jesus to show up. All I need is for Jesus to show up. When the atmosphere changes, your situation changes. Some of us in here today are like Samson. The enemy's tried to bind us. The enemy's got us bound up with all kinds of things. He's got us bound up with worry. Got us bound up with depression. Got us bound up with sickness. Got us bound, whatever it is that got us bound up with addiction. Whatever it is, God sent me by here to tell you today it's time to get loose. It's time to get loose. Why? Because God's showing up. Because God's showing up. Sister Beverly, would you come? It's time to get loose. Some of you got to shake yourself. You know, you don't have to stay bound. We don't have to be bound. There's freedom through Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of you, I hope everybody got a card and a pen this morning. If you didn't get one, please raise your hand and our ushers will get it to you. Yes. Brother Cecil will have some pens and cards. Please raise your hand if you need a pen or a card. I want everybody to participate. Amen. What I want you to do with those pens and those cards, I don't want you to put your name on it, but I want you to write down some things on that card that you need God to help you get loose from. Whether it's anxiety, whether it's depression, whether it's addiction, whether it's bitterness or unforgiveness, whatever it is, I want you to write down some things on those cards that you need God to help you get loose from. Give you a few moments to do that. And I want you to be serious that you really need God to help you. Don't put your name on it. Just write down some things. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Said, I need to get loose from this. Tired of being bound. Doesn't mean that you're not saved. Doesn't mean that you're not where you need to be. It just means that you're struggling with some things that you need God to help you with. Amen. Give you just a few more minutes and we're going. Just write down things that are you might be struggling with. When you're finished with it, I want you to fold it in half where nobody can see it. I have up here a box. On this box, it's got our sermon title today, It's Time to Get Loose. I know this may seem a little silly to you, but this is what I felt the Lord lay on my heart for us to do. In a few moments, I'm going to ask you to bring your piece of paper, and I want you to throw it in this box. When you do that, I want it to be symbolic of you're giving it to God, and you're not going to carry it around no more. God, I'm giving this to you. I'm free from this. God, I'm asking you to show up in this. Amen. And when you throw it in the box, I want you to stay up here, and we're going to just pray together. Amen. When you're finished, you can come on and do that. And I want you to mean it. When you throw it in there, you're done with it. You're not going to pick it back up and take it home. You're done with it. You're going to get free from it. Amen. You're done with it. Just stay up here, and we're going to pray together as a corporate body.